everybody. Welcome on behalf of the Houston Metro Inner Group. Welcome to the second workshop of the three-part series, A Spiritual Awakening, the Result of Working the Steps. A Spiritual Awakening as the result of working the 12 steps of OA. And tonight's speakers will be sharing their experience, strength, and hope on steps 4 through 9. Thanks, Kelly, so much. Ready, our first speaker tonight is Victoria W., formerly of Houston, but zooming in from North Carolina. She will share on steps 4 and 5. Victoria?
Hi, good evening, everybody. I'm Victoria. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and insulin manipulator. I am here with this workshop with my Houston OA family, my first OA family, my forever OA family, but I am zooming in from the Great Smoky Mountains of North Carolina, my new temporary home. And I don't want to spend too much time, but I do think it's important to hear stories of what it was like and what it's like now. So I just want to share my screen really quickly. Here you can see me in high school, anorexic, about 95 pounds. College, shortly after, I became dining hall girl, which I consider my version. I guess that was like, if I was going to be a superhero, I'd be dining hall girl. would, you know, swipe in, one swipe, $7.50. And all I could eat from morning till night. And I think I stopped weighing myself, but I think I was close to 160 in this photo. But then in grad school, you know, I moved away from college. There was no more dining hall. There was no more binge drinking. So I lost some weight, but then I was diagnosed with diabetes. And you may not know this. I didn't know this until I had to know this, but our blood sugars are give or take should stay kind of around 100. And my eating was just out of control. I was either on the food plan my nutritionist wanted me to have, obsessing about how I had to be good that day, or I was thinking, well, I've really done it this time and it's got to be the last time. So I'm just going to go big or go home. And I went big and then I went home because I missed work like once, twice a week because I was so sick. My head felt like it was closing in on itself. You can see my blood sugar going up to 400 in both of these, four times as high as it should be. This one on the left, I actually had to go to the hospital and be admitted and pay $1,000 for fluids. That was because I went to a friend's potluck. And then this is me 9 months abstinent in OA on the left here. It's a different way of looking at it, but my blood sugars were much better as a result of the 12 steps, not anything that I did or deserved. And then also even a little bit lower than 100 and more like what I call a quote unquote a normal person. So that's my 200 point, my 200 drop, you know, that's my scale that I was obsessed with. And these are pictures of me over the last year. And I'm not showing these to be like, oh, you know, this is what my body looks like today. Like, yes, that is what my body looks like. But also I am so happy in these pictures. It's crazy. It's crazy to just know no matter what is going on, even some really bad things happened in the last couple of years, but I feel so free. And I feel like even behind this girl in the mask right here, I can tell I'm smiling way bigger than any other photo that I used to take. So I'll stop sharing now. So when I'm thinking about step 4, and it's hard because it's like, how can I talk about step 4 and step 5, the two that took me the longest amount of time chronologically to talk about them in 15 minutes together, but we're going to try, right? So up until now, what have I done? I've admitted that I don't have power, right? I've come to believe that I have a channel to my higher power that can give me power. And I've decided that I want to unclog that channel because there's gunk in there that's blocking the power. So I need to get that out. So now it's time I got to put my boots on and I got to start digging. I got to start going through the gunk, but I wish I had a better word, but the gunk that's clogging up that, you know, that pipe between me and my higher power and how we connect. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about like, step four. That's how it was introduced to me. Like, oh my gosh, it's just the worst, but don't just keep going through it. And it's like, yeah, well, it wasn't fun, but I also think we need to not get too stuck in this, like in this bemoaning this step. It's one of the 12 steps. We need to do it to get recovered, right? But it's also taking inventory. And in the big book, they tell us it's a fact-finding and a fact-facing mission. And actually for step four, I'm gonna touch on some stuff in the AA 12 and 12 tonight, because I think that's where I find the real, like, I remember, yeah, I did it. It worked for me. That's great. Like, I was able to continue with step five and let's go on. I did what I needed to do when I was drowning. But once I went back, started working with sponsees, I went back and read the 12 and 12 on step four. And I just was like, oh, this is incredible. So they're telling me in step four, that chapter of the 12 and 12 for the AA 12 and 12, they're saying, like, most people get stuck in one of two directions on step four. You know, there's either the person who thinks we've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. Everyone has always been trying to harm me. I am the victim in every sense of the word. Or there's the other pitfall of, gosh, look at me. I'm such an atrocity. Everything I have ever done is garbage. Everything inside of me is garbage. I have no worth. I have no value. Look how horrible I am. And actually on page 45 in the 12 and 12, they say, no, that's not good either. That's just pride in reverse. That's certainly not humility. That's not the approach that our God would have us take as we do this. And then what my therapist told me, you know, before I even started doing step work, she would say, Victoria, you're not that powerful, right? Like, if I've already admitted I don't have power over food, it's like, well, how could I think I have power over everyone in the entire world and everything that happens? And my therapist said to me, if you are so powerful that you're responsible for everything that goes bad, do you think you're responsible for everything that goes good? And I was like, well, right now I'm not really feeling like anything's going good, you know, at that one point in my life. And she was like, right. So stop trying to operate that way. It doesn't serve us. And I wasn't ready to hear that at the time, because I wasn't abstinent. I wasn't in program. But what I really hear from this message is, like, don't waste our time, right? If we're working these steps like our hair is on fire, don't waste our time with, oh, look at all the stuff that I wrote down and how horrible I am. And just, like, it's not about that. It's just about putting it out there, seeing all the stuff that we have. It's just like when you are packing a bag and you're going to the airport, and it's like, there was a point where you laid everything out on your bed to see if you have enough pairs of underwear, if you got, you know, if you got enough shoes and stuff like that. We're just trying to say, hey, I'm a container and what are the contents, right? We're just buying a ticket to the museum. That's what I tell my sponsees. Like, we're just buying, you know, for me, I bought a ticket to the Victoria Museum, right? Somebody as egomaniacal as myself would love that. And we're just there to see what's there. We're going to get rid of what we don't want. That's the purpose. We need to see what's there so we can decide what do we want and what don't we want. And part of taking that inventory is also seeing, like, what are we missing? Like, what do we want to get in stock that we don't have or that we're running low on, right? So when we ask ourselves, when we go through this inventory, we ask ourselves, what should I have done instead? And this work starts to help us get these first ideas of how God would have us act in these situations, like how we can form our ideals or our behavior plans going forward for a life in recovery as we're preparing to have. But sure, I mean, it can be super daunting, right? I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, those people who think it's hard are drama queens. No, it is really challenging. And it can be overwhelming to think about how much territory there is to cover. I mean, I came into program at 26, so I can't imagine. I mean, having 26 years of stuff to sort through, I mean, I felt so buried under that. And I know some people come in and the first time they take an inventory is with many more years than that. But they tell us in the 12 and 12 on page 48, they say, once over the first two or three high hurdles, the course ahead began to look easier, for we had started to get perspective on ourselves, which is another way of saying that we were gaining in humility. I love that. I love that. And I'm sure we're going to hear more about humility later on today, but what I also like about this is, you know, it's like, yeah, when you're running a race, it can be challenging at first to change the momentum from being stopped to starting and really getting into this. But once you start, there's something propelling us. And to me, I felt like part of that was my spiritual experience. I look back and see that that was my higher power working through me. And another thing about this, you know, after the 2-3 hurdles, what I like, Herb K says, a verse, I'm paraphrasing, you'll soon see about the fourth step. You'll soon see that there are not so many different ways that a human is screwed up. You know, there's not so many different ways that you're hopeless or, you know, I'm doing the same things over and over and over again with different characters. I had a friend who shared in a meeting recently about how it's, and I just loved this. I have to say it all the time now. It's like, it's a Hallmark movie. It's a Hallmark movie where we all know it's going to take place in some rural small town. There's going to be some tradition that corporate America wants to overtake, right? And then there's going to be a fight between the people who want to go with corporate America and then the people who want to stay with the tradition of the town, and then their children are going to fall in love, and it's going to be very Romeo and Juliet, right? Like, that is, no matter what Hallmark movie I watch, that's what it's about. And that's
Victoria, how 5 minutes left.
Thank you so much. So that's how my inventories go to. And what I love also about the 12 and 12, they tell us like a brand new confidence is born as we go through this work, because there's a sense of relief at finally facing ourselves. And that relief is indescribable. I really felt that. And then there's a reminder of thoroughness, right? That this thoroughness is going to be the first tangible evidence of our complete willingness to move forward by going through step four. So let's see. I only have 5 minutes left, and I want to actually get to step five. So then if I have more time, I'll come back to some examples. But in step five, on page 75, they tell us, right? Like, we pocket our pride and go to it, and we've got to tell this other person. Once we've taken this step withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. This is so beautiful. I even feel like I'm reading it too fast to do it justice. But we now begin to have a spiritual experience. I mean, we're walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. It's so amazing. And what I learned in step five, like, I had a lot of shame. I didn't want to share this information with no one, not because I thought my sponsor was going to judge me, but just because if I had to say it out loud, I had to admit that it's real, right? Like, I had been hiding a lot of stuff. I didn't, you know, I had a lot of shame over, you know, identifying as bisexual, as not wanting to have children, which I felt like, how, like, I work in pediatrics. What's wrong with me? I'm disowning my womanhood. What's wrong with me? And it's like, but it's just true. It's just who I am, you know? And I was able to say those things out loud. And that was a big part of being able to stop trying to stuff them down with food. So we leave nothing unturned. And this is the difference. You know, my sponsor told me there's a difference between secret life and private life. So you don't have to tell everyone. You don't have to post it on Facebook. You don't need to print it on a t-shirt. You don't need to take out an ad. Like, you just need to tell. You need to admit it to yourself, to God, and a trusted person who understands why you need to take this step and won't put an obstacle in your way. Somebody who's not going to stop you from trying to clean house, which you need to do to access your higher power. So then once we take this step, we go, they tell us, we read these first five steps and ask, have we left anything out? Is our work solid? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? And that's important, because if there is, we need to make sure that there's no stone left unturned. I will say that I was expecting to feel some sort of like lightning strike. That's not what happened. I went out on my balcony. I heard the waterfall of the pool going, and I just felt like, huh, I said it. I feel lighter. I didn't spontaneously combust. Okay. What does that tell me about what's going to happen next? Nothing. But that acceptance right there, I mean, when have I ever felt every feeling that I've ever had in my life all at once, right? And didn't run to food? If that wasn't my higher power's presence, I mean, I didn't know what is. And shortly after, I really felt a transition of not just being like, oh, I got to eat my abstinent meal. I got to do this. I got to do that. Just really wanting to walk this path. Beth, how much time's left, if you don't mind? Well, I'll just keep talking.
Sorry, a minute and a half.
Okay, cool. So I did want to share one quick thing, and then I will wrap up. So for me, when I was talking about how it's the same story over and over, my resentments are someone didn't do what I wanted them to do, or I wasn't able to do something I thought I should be able to do, or I thought I should get to do. And for me, a big thing I learned was I think it's important to say that all resentments have a part. So it's not our fault if abuse happened to us, but it is my part in how I carry that resentment with me and how it might affect how I treat other people. So I'm going to close with this. So I was bullied a lot growing up, and something I feel like God revealed to me during step four was that I had victimized everyone. Like, I learned that I was in danger and people were coming after me as a child. And I learned I got to be tough and stand up for myself. But as an adult, I carried that into every interaction. You think you're going to cross me? I'm going to get to you first. You don't like what I did? Well, I don't like what you did either. Oh, you think you're so great? Well, let me show you how I'm better. And God revealed to me, Victoria, you're not a victim. You're a bully. There were a lot of tears that came with that realization, but there was also a lot of freedom. So I know I jumped around a lot, but I think I'm out of time now. So I will wrap up, and I hope it's too much to cover in 15 minutes, guys, but thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Victoria. Alrighty, Victoria has put together some writing prompts for us, which Laura, our tech host, is going to display on a screen. I'll read them real quick and then we'll give you 5 minutes to do some writing if you care to or reflect. So, when you take inventory and think of your ideals, are there any things you might need to reorder or stock up on? Are there any dark crannies that still need to have a light shown on them? Is there anywhere you have skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Again, so that'll give you 5 minutes. And I'll break in when that time is up. Thank you.